noiseless, patient spider. I marked where on a little promontory it stood isolated, marked how to explore the vacant, vast surrounding. It launched forth filament out of itself, ever unreeling them, ever tirelessly speeding them. And you, O my soul, where you stand, surrounded, detached, in measureless oceans of space, ceaselessly musing, venturing, throwing, seeking the spheres to connect them. Till the bridge you will need be formed, till the ductile anchor hold, till the gossamer thread you fling catch somewhere. Oh, my soul. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this particular moment has arrived. The moment which encompasses the beginning of the Ask Dr. Hal Show, live on radio. Greetings, dear fiends. This is indeed the Ask Dr. Hal Show. And speaking, your irritating horror host, Dr. Howland Owl. Tonight, until the hour of 1 o'clock, we will persist in this creative endeavor, hoping to alleviate for some the cares, the weariness, the fever, and the fret here where they sit and hear each other groan, where palsy shakes a few sad last gray hairs, where youth grows pale and specter thin and dies, where but to think is to be full of sorrows and leaden-eyed despairs, where beauty cannot keep her lustrous eyes, or new love pine at them beyond tomorrow. Away, away, for I will fly to thee, borne out by radio and its special bards, using the viewless wings of poesy, though the dull brain perplexes and retards. Already with thee, tender is the night, and haply the queen moon is on her throne, clustered around by all her starry fays. And yet the moon was at its full several days ago, and though bright were we permitted to see it through the overwhelming layer of enveloping clouds, it would be less so than at the moment of its greatest effulgence. Bright things wax and wane in this universe, as our satellite has always been eloquently willing to teach us. And though at times, according to some, here on this show we have reached certain heights, at other times, according to others and some of the some, we trawl the benthic bottom of old shows, scraping out partially digestible morsels in order to fill out our flimsy allotted time. But, dear friends, this is the only radio program of its type. Tomorrow, We shall have Reloadio, but a different set of contributors. And the guest I was expecting to have tonight may well appear there. But to be guided by my own aesthetic preferences, only this show may serve. There will not be crashing commercials, interpolated disco music, and musings about U.S. possessions in far distant oceans. Nor shall we go over the tremendous battle fought in this nation's centennial year between the Amerind forces and the U.S. Army in the person of the very late General George Armstrong Custer. These things, along with the tank that went back in time and other musings, are for that other show, our sister show, Reloadio. And we hope you hear, and we hope you go. So here we go with this, our show. What is the order of the true believer? According to some benighted souls, those of us who think good is evil and evil is good. And who has taught you these things? The one who has shown us. Julian Carswell, it is he. Well, my friends, Julian Carswell came to a very bad end, and we hope to eliminate the closeness to such controversy. Yes, we will persist, marching forward, onward, heavy onward. Through the broad, sunlit uplands, to a marvelous and hallowed place. They call it the Isle of Slack. As frequent listeners know, Slack is the ne plus ultra, without which no subgenius can long function. We have to teach and promulgate the teachings of Dobbs and his acolytes, Stang and others, that nothing is worth diverting from the path to Slack. True Slack is a creative synthesis of what is desired in the moment and will serve for the purposes of eternity. Not to be under the necessity of following an onus or obligation, only to forge one's own path, sinusoidal and winding, or clear and straight like the path of an arrow fired from a crossbow, penetrating the relentless corpus of the universe. Only in the purity of Slack can such uncontaminated tropes flourish and thrive. And we hope that on our show, we will provide you with the key. Yes, Dr. Penny, the key to unlock the door that the true believer howls without and enable ourselves to walk onward down that strange path between the giant boles of eon-old trees in and the unearthly forest some have called the wood between the worlds. A place of transition between this veil of wrath and tears, where looms but the horror of the shade, and the heavenly pastures, where all sing in glorious unison to the fountainhead of life, love, and the acme of human experience. Of course, here on the Ask Dr. Hal show, we don't claim to have such exalted goings-on. We only hope to suggest them. And we have a great deal of archival material which will help us make that suggestion.
Artificial brains control country.
Engine 23, for your call, Charlie, respond.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not here.
Please remove yourself from the
verification system.
Now. Please remove yourself from the verification system.
Now. During the show.
Yes, please remove yourself from the verification system.
I'm not going to take no for an answer.
You don't need a verification system.
Push that big red button there.
No. You only verify for others. Not for yourself.
They're both pretty damn big. You know,
well, they're both very serious, but
that one is
more.
You know what's what, and where's where, and when's when, and who's who.
I guess so. So just don't push that one.
Boop. Beep.
As here. Simple and ancient primitive ritual.
I would love to have a dog yurt.
A Quonset yurt.
A yurt? Well, these yurts have to be air conditioned. They can get mighty.
Oh, they don't yurt.
In a hot landscape rather than a cold one.
Some people manage to keep cool in them, even in the blistering, blazing heat of the Black Rock Desert.
I don't know that culture.
How do they do it? I don't know. But I've visited them. The one thing their yurt does not have is a window that you can see out of, and only a narrow door or flap that you can crawl through.
Microphone or
like this?
Yeah, this is the way they like to hear you. The lips are floating just a few centimeters from the surface of the psychedelic circuses are all very well, and I might even participate in one tonight. Often the youthful underground cartoonists take experimental substances. What kind of cartoonists would they be if they did not? And so we cruise along through the evening, somehow still drawing.
Every phrase, every word. This is the best. This is the sound of today.
Yes, this is the Ask Dr. Hal show, and what could be more contemporary than that which is spun by the spider of destiny from moment to moment, launching filament out of itself to fill the vacant, vast surrounding, hoping that the snare will catch on some unknown promontory or projection in the mysterious infinite.
I run out.
out to the field to fetch Dirk and Pappy. And we headed over to the pond to see what all the commotion was. Sure as shit, there it was, just a bobbing and stinky as childbirth in July. Figured we could rope it and pull it up on the pecan tree for closer inspection, but I tried getting at it with a stick. I went out about waist deep in the pond with a fish pole and tried snagging it on the cuff of the pants. Dirk, he worked around to the other side of the pond and swam over with a pointed broom handle, but he poked it in the stomach and all that gas and liquid sprayed out like someone done popped a water bottle.
Disgusting.
This one was full of piss.
All right,
Paul
okay.
Commenced to clenching his stomach and puking at the pond's perimeter.
Sure.
Dirk and me had already invested too much pride to succumb to queasiness. Dirk poked it in the head and it swung out my way. I got my fishing pole through the stomach hole and fetched it to shore. Once Paul got through wiping off his mouth, we took off her shirts and wrapped them around her head so as we could get closer and take a look at it. Just like Freckles had told us, the corpse had both eyeballs ripped clean out the sockets, but it also had metal rings through both nipples and a tattoo that said Valvoline. But the weirdest of all was when we flopped it over on the belly side and found three holes in the back, like some fellas had sucked all the blood out the poor sumbitch through his spinal cord.
Or those were bullet holes.
Dirk figured he might have been drained out by a pack of aliens that came down in the night to make crop circles.
Aliens? Space monsters?
He figured it must have been one of them devil cults.
My God, a huge devil hiding in the bushes. Well, you gotta decide where your menace is coming from. Because I must disagree with David Normal, who I was speaking to earlier tonight, who said that Satan's powers were illimitable. But in fact, Satan, this Christian biblical character, does have strict limitations on his powers. Only his adversary, the Ancient of Days, Jehovah, and the creative principle in the Holy Trinity, commonly known as Jesus H. Christ, have powers without limitations. Satan, as a matter of fact, cannot travel through outer space. He is bound to this world, which in the field of Arbol, as our solar system is referred to by the angelic beings who inhabit it, is called Folkandra, the silent planet. No one hears much from this planet of a spiritual nature, but a huge amount of radiant energy emerges from this place, the most happening spot in the whole solar system. But you've got to get into a mystic state to appreciate this. You've got to ohm. You've got to ohm till the cows come home. And naval intelligence will have to be on the job. That is to say, what intelligence you can derive from staring at your navel. Some call the navel the point of entry into the universe. But really, it is only a phenomenon that appears after the fact.
Matter. It doesn't matter.
After the fact.
It doesn't matter.
After the fact of emerging.
It doesn't
after the fact of emerging into this universe. It doesn't matter to many. And actually, if you mention or depict the actual entry point, you can run afoul of obscenity laws in some benighted backwoods areas where only the stupidest Trump followers prevail.
It doesn't matter.
That's a matter of opinion. Now let's go over that again. You say you saw some sort of monster. Here's a question. Did this monster, as you call it, see you? Was this interaction going both ways? And whatever you concluded about this monster of yours, what do you think it made out about you? Case too terrifying.
And that was Lothar and the Hand People.
Talk to the Hand. Yes, that was presented by Stang on an hour of Slack.
That's right, folks. We mince no words in going after the high muckety mucks.
That's right. We name the names and rake the mucks. Mucks. Muck. You throw your mucklucks up out of the fire.
I am glad that they finally burned this guy, this ass, who runs the sacred subgenius church, that they finally caught up with. You know, everyone, of course, is so nuts about the sacred subgenius church, but they're totally corrupt.
What incident are you referring to, Peppy?
It's the money.
He had to, of course, resign in disgrace.
Who are you speaking
now
of?
Now he's up on charges.
Michael?
Which I'd love to see. Presumably set up by
the
mob.
Yes, that sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, it's basically, I think it's mob run as far as...
He's in the Epstein file?
I had about it in the thing
but,
that I saw.
But that means it's the other side that's running.
It's the criminals. Right. No. Everything is upside down.
Okay, I see.
It's all this illegal stuff. I don't understand exactly what is and is not sacred.
So I'm faced with the usual show here.
How could I not be corrupt, really? It is a
But I'm drinking a super drink.
Yes, and so there's always that.
And I'm thinking, since I have to go on all night...
I'm sorry, you know, am I
past the end of this show,
away from the mic?
That I might...
What mic?
Because I don't...
Take... A super pill. I have it right here on the desk in front of me.
Oh, yes. I forgot
how
again.
How about that?
No,
you can't have this. It will increase my metabolism.
I have not used it.
Well, I don't know.
It will cause me to buzz around the room like a blue bottle. Like an enormous fly.
Sacred and...
I assume Bob burns a sacred flame.
Propane. There is a nearby world, nearby in relative terms.
Which makes you the Vestal
where
keeper.
Essentially, giant flies are the dominant species.
And it seems like you're doing a good job.
And have created a civilization which we would recognize as that.
Well, it's protected from anyone else stealing it, yes.
And even
that's a good thing.
Have regulations to prevent
so
their own class
the,
of Jolly Green
the plans,
criminals.
To go to a sacred subgenius church museum?
Can be apprehended.
Well, I heard much idle talk.
Idle gossip, yes.
Speculative nature.
Ferg already had his thingamajig.
Discussion of possibilities.
Yes.
Essential
That's
possibilities.
That's all I heard as well.
Because we all know that what has
visit
been
a right-wing subgenius hillbilly apocalypse, yeah. That one is the one for you.
That's very true.
However, the conditions... Very.
You have to see what before. Condition your condition
so
is in.
Be decisive.
Every bow you break. Every smile you make. Every claim you say. I'll be watching.
You won't be watching me. Nobody will be watching me. Even the security cam in here is dead, dead, dead. My only concern is not to drink all of the super drink, because otherwise I'll have no liquid to wash down the super pill, which is quite a bomb in its inner workings.
I'll be watching your ass, Ben.
I'll be watching.
Ah, if only Michael Pepe could be the guest on this show.
And that was, of course, the Rudy Schwartz Project from the remastered CD album, Salmon Dave.
They've been on my show, the Ask Dr. Hal show. Not this radio show, but the monthly show on Twitch. We had to stop it because we were attacked by robots who wouldn't allow us to do the show. Algorithms wanted to prevent us, but we're going to make a comeback, and possibly in the month of June or July, we will begin again. However, the show will have to be different because all of the things which we were showing and presenting have now been flagged by copyright robots, which means no one will ever hear of them, be interested in them, or willing to pay for them, which the robots have been instructed to make possible by erecting a mighty paywall, similar to Trump's ecology-destroying paywall, which travels across the southern border of the United States. At heaven's gate sings, and Phoebus Gens arise. Yes, indeed. We have something being born, something coming to life, a beautiful vegetable organism putting out green shoots and leaves and unfolding in marvelous creation, all shapes and sizes. Now let's see if Ivan Stang has anything to say.
73937.
It's just a string of numerals.
Our slack number 1666. That's right, show number 666. And it makes me sick. Actually, South by Southwest made me sick. We had a great time at South by Southwest in Austin last week, but I got sick. We went to a big party, and we were in a giant exhibit hall with aliens from all over the galaxy.
Alien
and
space
robots. A lot of robots. There were robots at the party, too. It was a robot-themed party.
There were robots all over the place.
We weren't exactly there for South by Southwest. We were being interviewed again for that Subgenius documentary movie, Slacking Toward Bethlehem.
Thank God it wasn't called that when it came out.
Title, I guess.
Yes.
And, I met the editor finally.
It was called J.R. Bob Dobbs and the Church of the Subgenius.
Other folks there again.
Recommended highly by this
Nick
show.
Nick Offerman, that TV actor that's in the show Parks and Recreation.
TV.
It turns
TV
out he's a
land.
Big Subgenius scholar
land.
And a devoted
TV,
follower
TV
of Bob.
Land.
Has been for a long time. We should be getting a copy of his books on woodworking, the Zen of woodworking, and also hopefully his audio book.
I'm only interested in Wally Woodworking.
Funny, it might be just great to have parts on this show, The Hour of Slack.
If you were any decent Martian, you would defeat the assassin, but that could certainly happen. So it's not like here on Earth. Also, it gets really, really cold there, and Martians are incredibly tough. And
that's right.
Practically naked during the day, but at night they have to bundle up, even them,
in what they call their sleeping silks and furs.
One final detail about them is they lay eggs and do not have.
Yes, they're viviparous. I mean, ovoviviparous.
Here, even beautiful princesses.
Even beautiful princesses lay eggs on Mars. It's true. The beautiful Deja Thoris of helium laid one, and after the usual 3 years, it hatched and decanted Prince Carthoris of helium, the son of Deja Thoris and Earthman John Carter. But the question is, was John Carter really an Earthman?
Of course. I have a theory about that.
Theories have to be guarded because it was ever the way of some hostile tribe to smash the eggs of the other tribe and raid.
All Mars is a planet where they're always fighting. And the green men do smash the incubators of the eggs of rival tribes. But supposedly the humanoid Martian races don't go in for that. Supposedly, I happen to know some of them did.
The happening sound.
It's an ideal.
Are you peeing urgently? And oh, this is suicide, no, man.
Don't try to be the suicide.
How many attempts?
No. Purge it from your mind.
Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes.
Axioms we must go by. Number one is the only life you have a right to take is your own. And number two, there's more to life than living. And number three, there comes a time when it's time to call it a life.
And it's not now. You have to fight the good fight. You don't ever win. You have to fight the good fight.
There was a time.
You need help along your bumpy, rocky
path. Absolutely.
And there was... before my path was rough, there was a time when slack dallied with excess.
Don't you think that's happening in the culture?
And all misfortune seemed one, well, but as
that comes from the fact
the way where
we were a much more religious culture, and most religions have forbid suicide.
The other things
it's
prevented happiness. For hope grew round me like the clinging vine, and fruits and foliage, not my own, seemed mine. Listening to the Ask Dr. Hal Show, live on RadioValencia.fm. The Ask Dr. Hal Show begins at 10 p.m. on Friday night, and it ends at 1 a.m. on Saturday morning. Into this 3 hours must be poured all the ingredients that fit the mold of yet another show. And what about the earlier shows that we have done? If you want to listen to them, you can at any time. For they are there. Go to Radio Valencia. Click on podcasts, and then scroll downward until you come to the Ask Dr. Hal Show live on radio. This program, a blue line will tell you how many of these shows have been done. It is an imposing number. With some trepidation, click on that string of blue letters and numerals, and you will be instantly transported, in a vicarious sense, to the podcast page of me, your irritating horror host, Dr. Howland Owl. And there will be a little description of each show, and there will be a little image with that description, and all you have to do is click play, and you can hear the entire production from beginning all the way to the bitter end. That's the way we do it here. That's what this show is about. Just as drawing cartoons, when you draw them for reproduction. They're not real until there's a copy, a print. And the same with this show. It must be added to the accumulation of recorded material found only at Radio Valencia's archival font. The time was when Ivan Stang would play long excerpts, but old age, which hath yet its honor and its toil, and two enormous dogs have sapped the strength of the sacred scribe. And now, you must get it directly from the horse's mouth, as it were. And perhaps you are, even this instant, at some future remove, enjoying just that selfsame recondite pleasure. Dive in, wallow, and enjoy.
Into the fire or whatever it is that one does.
So, that edgy envelope has edged its last scratchy centimeter over the unforgiving terrain. How about the way those big brains crawled through the grass and reeds and plants and
so, hot.
So forth?
Yes, they were incapable of being infected, which an earthly organism might that want to worry about. They were created out of a certain ectoplasm, which itself formed at Professor Walgate's mental instruction.
Steely Dan said, I can hear it a lot better without the headphones, because the speaker is actually quite good.
The squeaker? Oh, the speaker.
That fixes everything.
This is the landscape of Mordency. Tombs dot the grounds.
Here's the new dawn for America.
Yes, it's blown up to large size and decoupaged to a piece of plywood.
And you can still do your dishes with it.
That's right. Now America can own a piece of the new dawn.
New dawn
of a new political administration. A bright light painted by Thomas Kincaid, painter of light.
And your hands are soaking in it.
What? Oh, oh, ew.
With tiny electrical lights built right in.
I was
right
going to hang out with Madge.
Batteries not included.
She'd know all the answers because she works in one of those you're soaking in it places.
And if you act right now, you get a second brilliant landscape decoupaged onto plywood for the same price.
Oh, this is heavy.
Its hernia-inducing heaviness will keep burglars from removing it in their home. Well, but they'll want to because of its incredible expansion.
It's too heavy. It's too heavy.
Heavy, dude. Ghosts and fiends. We refer to them, the classic supernatural entities that have haunted human folklore for centuries. While ghosts represent the lingering spirits of the dead, fiends are malevolent demons or monsters, often rooted both in mythology and in the human psyche. The disembodied souls of the deceased, believed to linger in the mortal realm due to unfinished business or tragic circumstances. But fiends, these are malevolent non-human entities that embody wickedness, chaos, or torment. And unlike ghosts, they were never human. The boundaries between the living and the dead have been explored since the dawn of storytelling. Now, I don't know how many of my listeners may have read the 1854 supernatural study Fiends, Ghosts, and Sprites by John Netton Radcliffe. It may not even be in print, but you can get anything these days on the internet.
From Amazon and other parasites and destructors of civilization, I recommend this one because it remains one of the most comprehensive historical analyses of why humanity believes in the unseen world. If you are fascinated by special spectral encounters and legendary monsters, several resources allow you to explore ancient documents, folklore, and historical accounts. Actually, I think you can read that entire book I mentioned, the 1854 edition of Radcliffe's Exploration of Spectral Phenomena, directly. Just go to Project Gutenberg. For those in the San Francisco Bay Area, explore historical databases or reserve walking ghost tours on platforms like TripAdvisor. But make sure you don't trip, because if you fall, you may not get up again. And in the wide field of folklore research, you may browse encyclopedias, I always do, and mythologies of the world through the Smithsonian Institution to study how different cultures classify their own demons and spirits. And of those demons that are found in fire, air, flood, or underground, whose power hath a true consent with planet or with element. For tips on how different cultural legends view the hierarchy of the afterlife, and how mythologies portray legendary figures who control the underworld, you can even find Radcliffe's book, Fiends, Ghosts, and Spirits, on Amazon. It's not that easy to find. The last I looked, it cost like $31 or something. And that's not even counting shipping. But if you have Amazon Prime, these fiendish tomes can be ferried to your door by a willing flunky. All will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. And so we learn by studying these ancient and primitive sources. Perhaps someday our descendants will understand that we understood some
fat
of
chance.
The things their great civilization.
I'm going to take my go pill pretty soon.
Even in
I suppose I should wait.
Primitive.
Maybe
time.
Until the hour changes at 11 o'clock.
Radio, this is Ralph Fielding Snell.
Ah, yes, we've got to transmit to all who could receive
sigh.
Us.
So sad.
On air,
so
land,
fresh.
And sea.
Subgenius.
And under the sea.
The
and under the earth. And over the air. And everywhere.
Whatever. I'll take what I can get.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Well, that is most unfortunate. I guess there's no satisfying being dissatisfied.
And the observance taken.
And yet, Mr. Pepe swept from the room. A gorgeous tragedy comes sweeping by, presenting Thebes or Pelops line, or the tale of Troy divine.
definitely...
You having any improvement there?
Not really, but
no,
I guess that's just
that's
the way it...
terrible. My friends, if I did not get the blowback from the Chatterbox, the obsolete Chatterbox, which is no longer affiliated with this institution, Radio Valencia, I would not be certain that this show was actually being transmitted and sent out at all, because once more, here in RV's studios, there has been a certain amount of jiggery-pokery, and the needles on the dials are lying flat against the left side. That is to say, nothing is indicating that anything is being done. But I do have blowback, feedback. So, thank heavens for that. All who write on the Chatterbox, help me to know that I am not shouting into the void, sending a show down the memory hole, where its only listener is the eternal spirit that moves and urges everything, the imminent will. But I do show for more than that, guy. I want others to hear it too, and maybe that includes you. I'm not going to mess around anymore. I guess I will. Wait until 11 and then I'll swallow this dynamite pill. There'll be an explosive reaction as soon as my own metabolism picks up the connections. And we shall see. Yes, we shall see how it affects our program. Oh my God, should have taken it. Everything I can't control, swirling around. I should have broken the pill in half, but it's too late. Well, you know, as far as this matter of streaming copyright material, we only left the video on archive.org. YouTube immediately cut out everything which was possibly actionable. The problem is that the definition of what is forbidden is constantly expanding by robots who can't be argued with. And most people don't use the interwebs for such a purpose. Only I and my devoted followers do. We can't play any clips from monster movies anymore, or any music associated with them, or anything that's been put up on the internet. Goodbye. Goodbye to everything that is not in the public domain. And of course, these Android servitors, I speak loosely here, are increasing the range of their grip on what was formerly the proudest achievement of the human race, the noosphere. But the cancer of capitalism is rapidly cutting down these promising stalks, which were to nurture and feed the future of the human race. And as for believing anything the president says, there are new robots online which stop any criticism of the current president or administration. They are, what is the word? Algorithms. certain subjects are mentioned which are controversial about the malfeasance of one person in high office, then the entire presentation goes blank. And you can make one if you speak elliptically, but not if you speak directly. Whatever happened to the whole idea of the digital world as epitomizing free speech? The problem is, it cannot go off and in its own little burrow promote free speech when the iron boots of ignorance, credulity, and fanaticism are stamping the earth flat above. Well, it's 86-47. As you may know, former director James Comey is being attacked by the government because he took a picture of seashells on the beach that say 86-47. 47, of course, would refer to Donald Trump, the 47th president of the United States. 86 means to throw out. Like, I got 86 from a bar because I couldn't hold my liquor. But they claim it is a death threat to take a picture of these seashells. And powerful prosecutions are moving forward. Beware. And what of all these people who essentially boast of their ignorance, saying, "Oh, I don't pay attention to politics. All that stuff doesn't interest me." I would refer them to Plato, who in the Critias says, "Those who do not participate in their government are destined to be ruled by their inferiors."
Understand, you know, the brain does take a terrible beating, but these
yes,
are
yes, the brain may no longer be the boss.
They want.
I am a robot. Beep. Hey, cut it out, clanky McRobot.
Chicken feather.
In show world,
everyone is
flailing android is messing things up.
Activated robot.
I am a robot.
The
sounds like me, too.
Have won.
Oh, no.
Well, we didn't think that's the way it was. Now
get out of here, you tyrannical tinker toys.
I thought they were just trying to make us frustrated in the future. They are. Let's lock that clock.
Rock notes that said, yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. You I'm can't even take a big hammer, a big sledgehammer. I'm going to move that rock. I'm not going to wait for that machine to do it.
Really?
It's just too slow. Because of the evidence, it's just
Mr.
Nice
machine.
At the end of that rock. Beep. You may as well just put that guy's ego and replace the rock with the ego.
It's just an attempt to communicate with the far, far future.
Hi, future.
If only we could communicate with them.
Now what am I going to do?
We're wasting
not
time
that way.
Here.
It wants us to send it a message in a bottle. Put a write a note, put it in a bottle, and throw it in the ocean. Just like we used to do.
I want the future to love me.
Me too.
In the loving future. Oh, they will.
The world is weary of the past.
You want the future to be sad.
The past is fiction anyway.
You want the future to be sad that you're not here anymore and wishes that you were still here a whole lot.
Yeah, future. I want the future to hold me and be able to kiss you on me.
Yeah, and say,
you know,
let's
what you
make
did?
A thing that's like him and worship it.
Yeah, it's yeah, just love it.
Just love
I want
it.
Want you to all love it.
That's what I hate it.
Like
it.
Was all about. Too.
I hate it. I hate it. I just hate it.
So, do we have any fake news that we can tell the public?
The founder of a Chinese brand of high-tech toilets called Trump said he had no intention of soiling the name of America's next president. The New York Times reported Zhang Jie said he had not heard of Donald Trump when he registered the English name of his company, Shenzhen Trump Industrial Company Limited, as a trademark sold in 2002.
Rhymes with
Chinese,
dump.
The company name means innovate universally, he said, highlighting how the toilet seats warm and wash the users Caesar's backside.
Ew.
That Chinese name explained.
They wash
also
the user's backside?
Like Trump.
So eliminating the need for toilet paper?
Well, I'm not that certain that I understand every aspect of this.
Some of us would want to use the paper anyway.
They haven't done that.
Or the
yet.
Two seashells.
Well, Japanese have all sorts of things like that already.
They're
and
so
this
advanced.
Is Chinese.
They have a very advanced
this is,
culture.
They're way ahead of us.
Technical innovation.
You can tell how advanced a culture is by how much innovation they have in their toilet products.
Yes, that's right. This is no hillbilly outhouse full of giant spiders.
Well, some would feel
but a cool, clean mechanism.
The more expensive the toilet,
yes,
the more innovative.
They cracked up and went sappy.
And
because you
totally
see, they no longer have to struggle
minds.
Against the
minds.
Elements. They don't have to fight woolly mammoths.
Elephants.
The way we used to.
No, they sit on a gold-plated